So glad you could be a part of this dedication of Liliana. And, she would tell you she appreciated it, but she's sleeping right now. So. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, if you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen. We're going to read verse 4. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Lord, we love you. God, we just pray right now that you'll speak to every heart here today. Let your will be done. We give you the praise. We give you the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated if you like. I want to speak to you this morning, Christians raising children correctly. Christians raising children correctly. John Wilmot, the former Earl of Rochester, said this: "Before I was married, I had three theories about raising children. Now I have three children and no theories." Folks, only those who have tried to rear children can truly understand that insanity is hereditary. You get it from your children. Right? Being a parent is an inexplicable blessing. And at the same time, it is an incomparable challenge. No other endeavor in life will so excite you and exhaust you, bless you and break you, delight you and train you like the task of bringing up children. Someone once asked a mother of three wild preschoolers whether or not she would have children again if she had it to do all over. And she immediately answered, "Sure, not just these same three." Come on. And though you may at times wish you would, or wish you could, trade in your children for a model of less maintenance, the reality is that your child is a unique gift from God. Amen. His sovereign wisdom, God has entrusted you with the life of another person, one that is usually a lot like yourself. Many of you, I know, when you see your kids and they're driving you nuts, you go, "Sorry, Mom, Dad." Right? You see, with the blessing of children comes the high and heavy responsibility of being a parent. It is not for the squeamish, not for the selfish, and it is not for the foolish. Parenting is the task of a lifetime, and it carries with it great risks, but also eternal rewards. Christian parents have an obligation to rear their children in accordance with the teachings of the Word of God. Godly parents do not simply raise their children, they raise them right in a way that is biblical, in a way that is pleasing to God. And as you read through Paul's domestic theology in Ephesians 5 and 6, you find very valuable instructions for every relationship within the family. When Paul opens up in Ephesians 6 by speaking to children, and then in verse 4, he addresses the parents. And though he used the word fathers, we know it is very clear that he is speaking to both parents when he says, "Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So let's look at these verses today a little closer. And there are three important principles for godly parents. Parents that desire to raise their children in the right way. And let's look at these principles, and we want to notice, first of all, if you want to raise them right, you have to treat your children with care. If you ever watched a toddler fall like 600 times in a single day, bouncing their heads off of furniture and floor, then you know that kids can be remarkably tough and resilient. We had David yesterday with us, and we're at my brother Matt's house, and I walk out of the living room. He didn't want to be alone, so he comes flying after me, wearing little flip-flops, and all of a sudden took a nosedive right into the piano. Big old goose egg. But he's here today. They're resilient, aren't they? While kids are physically tough, they are emotionally fragile. And that is why Paul begins with this instruction to Christian parents with a negative command. He says, provoke not your children to wrath. You see, that phrase, provoke not, can be translated a number of different ways, and it means to don't irritate them or to agitate to the point of causing resentment. Some have translated this phrase, do not exasperate your children. The idea here is not treating your children in such a way that you bring them to a point of frustration or anger or despair or resentment. In other words, a godly parent will be careful in how they treat their children. There's a couple things about the treatment Paul prohibits in this verse. Think about it. The cause of an angry child. In verse 4, Paul does not say exactly how a child can become exasperated or how a child can become angry, but I like to think there are some clear cause that can identify. There are probably many, but let's just think of a few here today. First of all, a critical parent can cause a child to become angry. There is a difference in verbal correction and hurtful criticism. The parent who constantly harps on a child's flaws, constantly harps on their failures, always pointing out the wrong with the child, is creating a child that will be full of resentment. Also, confusing parents can create an angry child. What I mean is a parent that is inconsistent when I say confusing parent. A parent who demands one thing from a child, but does another themselves. Or a parent who allows one thing today, but demands something else the next day. That is a confusing parent. Further, a over-controlling parent. Those that are over-controlling. Parent can raise a resentful child. Kids should not be out of control, but they should not be over-controlled either. You see, the parent that tries to dominate or dictate every aspect of a child's life is creating a rebellious and an angry child. Then there's the cold parent. That cold parent will produce a frustrated and an angry child. You see, the mom or dad that is detached and distant from their child, who shows little concern, shows little interest, and refuses affection and affirmation, that is a cold parent. Also, a complacent parent will raise an angry child. You see, the complacent parent is the one who is too busy with other things or simply too lazy to give their child what they need. The child of a complacent parent will grow up with resentment and frustration. The godly parent must be careful. Because, you see, folks, the life of a child is an impressionable, it is a fragile thing. Our impact on a child is enormous and can be dangerous if we don't treat them with care. Now think with me, not only about the cause of an angry child, but how about let's think about the cost of an angry child. Paul says in verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Why would Paul begin his instructions to parents with this negative command? Because, see, he knew that once a child had reached the point of aspiration, they would be frustrated. The parent would no longer be able to effectively teach or lead this child. The parent who raises an angry child cannot expect to raise a godly one at the same time. You can bring your children to church. You can tell them that they need to love Jesus Christ and they need to serve Him. But if you are frustrating them and you are angering them by your lazy and careless parenting, don't expect them to listen to your spiritual guidance. They're not going to want your God. And if you are not careful in how you treat your children, you will lose the power of influence over your children. And while they may grow up in your house, you will not have raised them. Police officers saw a little fellow walking down the side of a road with a backpack. The officer pulled over and asked him, where are you headed, son? The little boy answered, I'm running away from home. The officer says, why are you doing that? The boy replied, because mom and dad won't mind me anymore. Folks, some kids run away, but other kids have been pushed away. The parent that is not careful will drive their children to anger rather than developing them into adulthood. Another principle that we can draw from this verse, if you are going to raise your children right, not only must you treat your children with care, but you notice also you must train your children through commitment. One of the most famous verses in the Bible dealing with the subject of parenting is Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In Ephesians 6:4, Paul echoes part of this verse when he says that rather than provoking your children to wrath, you should bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Notice that phrase says, bring them up. It is translated from one Greek word and it means to bring up maturity. The idea of caring for someone until they have grown up into adulthood. Understand this, folks. Understanding this, we are reminded that parenting is not a part-time job. It is a process that requires commitment. Someone once said, you spend the first 2 years of your child's life teaching them to walk and talk. You spend the next 18 years telling them to sit down and be quiet. Come on. But in all seriousness, the Bible tells us that parents who want to build and train good kids must be seriously committed in a couple specific areas. First of all, a godly parent must be committed to training their children by consistently disciplining them. Amen? Consistently disciplining them. Nothing frustrates me more than when I see a parent let a child push him and push him and push him and push him and then finally explode on him. You're supposed to be consistent. When I tell you don't do it, I mean it. So let's look again at verse 4. We are told to bring up our children. What? How? In the nurture of the Lord. The word nurture is translated from a word that speaks of the entire process of training and rearing children. The same Greek word is found in Hebrews 12, and it is translated chastening. In verse 4, the word nurture is talking about the work of disciplining your children. I'm going to tell you of a message. Dr. Russell Moore, if you get this, write it down. Dr. Russell Moore preached a sermon, The Purpose-Driven Paddle. I encourage you. It is an awesome message. It really is. Dr. Russell Moore, The Purpose-Driven Paddle. Parents, write that down and go look at it. Or text me and I'll get it to you later on. He not only talks about the parents chastening their children, he talks about God chastening us. Come on. One of the things he says in there is like, you know, when you see another person's child, you don't grab them and paddle them. They're not yours. So if God doesn't chasten you, then you must not be his. It's awesome, huh? And the Bible tells us God chastens those that he loves. So I don't know about you, but I want God to chasten me when I need it. Amen? So if you love your children, chasten them. Amen. I believe that in spite of the changing attitudes of our everyday, every loving, godly parent will have and use a purpose-driven paddle. See, discipline, including that of spanking, is clearly laid out in the Word of God. In Proverbs 13:24, it says, "And he who withholds the rod of discipline hates his son." That's strong words, folks. "But he who loves him disciplines and trains him diligently and appropriately with wisdom and love." Consistent, firm, and loving discipline, folks, is commitment that every Christian parent must make. Do you realize that when you discipline your child, you model theological truth for that child? Come on. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." You see, by consistently disciplining your child, you teach them that sin has consequences, and that God loves them too much to let them continue in their sins. Now, see, too often we think of sin as, you know, these people going out here stealing and murdering and all that other kind of stuff. But you know, when you sin is when you disobey God, whatever it is. In the garden, did they murder anybody? Did they rob a bank? Huh? No. They ate of the fruit God told them not to. Simple. But that's being disobedient. That's sin. And sin, that sin. Now, I know there's probably many parents, well, they just ate a cookie. It's no big deal. Well, didn't you tell them not to? Yeah, but it's just a cookie. God drove them out of the garden because they ate of the tree. He said, don't touch. Don't eat of it. We have to help them understand by disciplining them and chastening them. We are helping them to have the theological knowledge that sin is wrong. And God loves them too much to let them continue in sin. Likewise, the parent who does not discipline the child, who is inconsistent in this, teaches their children that God's word is not true and that committing sin has little or no price to pay. Christian parents must train their children not only by consistently disciplining them, but also by carefully directing them. Directing them. Look at verse 4 again. Notice the other words that Paul uses here. He says, "Bring them up in the admonition of the Lord." Notice that word, admonition. It is translated from a word that literally means putting in mind. The idea of admonition is a verbal instruction and direction. It is the education that a parent gives to their children. I thank God for those who work as teachers and educators in our schools, and they fill an important role in our society, and they are not appreciated as they should be. But folks, listen to me today. The person who does the most to direct your child and to shape your child's thinking should not be your history teacher or their guidance counselor. It should be the parents. Amen? The parents, godly parents, cannot afford to delegate the education of their children to the employees of the state. If you're going to raise your children right, then how they think and how they view their world must be taught to them by the parent, you. Not a government-mandated curriculum. In many ways, parents are teachers who don't get the summer off. Come on. You are supposed to be the primary educator and instructor for your child. You are to admonish them, to direct them as they mature and grow into adulthood. And when baseball legend Herman Killebrew, who was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in the class of 1984, he told about his father. His father had taught him and his brother how to play baseball in the front yard of their home. And he said this, "One day my mother came out and told my father, or told him, we were ruining the lawn. And my father told her, we are raising kids, not grass." Come on. We need more parents who understand the priority of raising and training their kids. Amen? Folks, it's a commitment that must come above everything else. God is going to hold you accountable. He's not going to hold your kids' teachers and you know, their principals and all that, you know, grandma and grandpa. He's going to hold you accountable. Amen? So it is the commitment to consistently discipline and carefully direct the life of the children with God that God has entrusted to you. And there is a final principle that I want to discuss from this verse. If you're going to raise your children right, notice not only that you must treat your children with care, you must train your children through commitment, but notice also thirdly that godly parents must teach your children about Jesus Christ. But notice the last three words of verse 4, of the Lord. All of Paul's instructions to parents are capped off by this statement, of the Lord. The efforts of a Christian parent are all aimed at producing a child who knows and loves God. Amen? Raising your kids right means teaching them what is right. That means that you must teach your kids about Jesus. Hallelujah. If I taught them anything in life, my boys, I'm glad I taught them to love my God. Amen? Hallelujah. As a parent, the Bible calls upon you to be an evangelist in your home and a witness to your kids. You see, folks, it is sad when a parent is more concerned about their kids going to college than they are about them going to heaven. It is a tragedy when a father will teach his son how to catch a football and run down the field, but he will not teach him how to carry his Bible and walk with Jesus. If we are going to do our homework, we must begin by teaching our children about Jesus Christ. And I want to say a couple things about priority of being a witness to your children. First of all, don't neglect this opportunity. Too many parents spend little or no time talking to their kids about the things of God. Dr. James Dobson said this, "We spend so much time trying to give our kids the things that we did not have, that we have forgotten to give them that what we did have." Listen, parents, to me today. Regardless of what you give your children, if you do not teach them about Jesus Christ, you have failed as a parent. You must not neglect the opportunity you have to teach your kids about Jesus. Some parents neglect this opportunity by outsourcing it. What I mean is that they think it's the church's job to teach their children about Jesus Christ. Therefore, they feel that as long as they take their kids to church, their kids will come to know Jesus. Wrong. While the church should help you in teaching your kids about Jesus, it cannot replace you. It can't replace you. Your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, your youth pastor will never be able to replace a godly mom or dad that personally witnesses to their kids. Other parents neglect this opportunity by replacing it. That is, they feel that as long as they involve their kids in good activities and keep them busy with innocent activities, that will somehow save them from sin and hell. Understand, folks, your children doesn't have to go wild to go to hell. Amen? Just because they make all-stars or honor roll doesn't mean they will make it to heaven. You can raise a valedictorian who goes to Harvard but ends up pagan and dies and goes to hell. You ought to encourage your children to achieve and to exceed. It is very important, but don't be fooled into thinking that a successful child is a saved child. Don't neglect the unique opportunity that you have to lead your children to Jesus Christ. Notice something, folks. Notice something else about the priority of teaching your children about Jesus Christ. Do not neglect this opportunity. And also, I would say to you, don't negate this opportunity. It is one thing for a parent to witness to their children about Jesus. It is another thing for that parent to walk with Jesus in front of those children. Amen? You can tell them that they need to live for God, but if you're not doing it right, don't expect them to. Some parents carry their kids to church and preach to them about the need of Christ, but when they negate all of that by their hypocritical way in which they live their lives. Don't tell your kids that God loves them unconditionally and then shun them when they disappoint you. Don't expect your kids to read the Bible if you never open yours. Don't look for your kids to appreciate the church if you hardly attend it. Don't expect your kids to understand sacrificial death of Jesus if you won't even sacrifice favorite TV shows in order to spend time talking to them. Don't think your children will believe in the power of Christ to change a life if they see no change in you. You will negate your opportunity to witness to your children, folks, if you don't live for Jesus yourself. Amen? A little boy asked his dad one day, "Daddy, what is a Christian?" The dad thought for a moment because he wanted to give a good answer to such an important question. And finally he said, "A Christian is a parent, or a Christian is a person who loves and obeys God. He loves his friends, his neighbors, and even his enemies. He is kind, gentle, and prays a lot. He looks forward to going to heaven and thinks that knowing God is better than anything on earth. That son is a Christian." The little boy sat quiet for a minute and said, "Daddy, have I ever seen a Christian?" Folks, as a Christian parent, if you're going to raise your children right, you must share Christ with them and show Christ to them. You must teach your children about Jesus Christ. Children's Sunday school teacher asked the class, "Why do you love God?" There were a number of different answers, but the best came from a little boy who said, "I guess it just runs in the family." It's a good excuse as any, right? Folks, it is God's intent that Christian parents bring up their children according to the mandates of His Word. Godly moms and dads are supposed to produce godly children. And for this to happen, and for the parents to raise their kids right, fathers and mothers are going to have to treat their children with care. Train their children through commitment, and teach their children about Jesus Christ. Your kids don't need perfect parents. They need godly parents. The greatest thing you can do for your children is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen? That's the greatest thing you can do for your children. Nick and Chrissy, I charge you this day keep her, prepare her, teach her, and lead her by your example as loving, godly parents from this day forward. You both accept that challenge this morning. I also charge the church family of Church of Pentecost, all of our teachers, all of our leaders, and every saint of God, to treat Liliana Roberts as one of God's own, and to do your part in leading her closer to Jesus Christ. By a loud amen, I will accept that charge. Amen. All right. Children. You see, folks, God sees children as important, and so do these parents. Psalms 127 and 3 says, "Behold, a child is a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is its reward." Some gifts have some things attached, some do not. But in case God's gift, in this case, God's gift to you does have attachments. Since God has given you this precious gift of a child, He has also given you an awesome responsibility. God has given you the responsibility to train up your children in the ways of God, to be an example of Christian living both inside and out of the home. Provide for, protect, and nurture. Make her a part of your family, sharing with her your love and your time and your life. Teach her to love the same Jesus that you love, and serve and obey and honor Him. Teach her to do it with all of her heart. You are not alone in this responsibility. God, your Heavenly Father, is always with you to provide you with the strength, the encouragement, the love, and the wisdom that you need. And all you have to do is go to Him, and He will provide all that you need. You see, folks, we are not dedicating the children as much as we are dedicating the parents. And by having this dedication, you as parents, you are publicly saying that you want to raise your child in a Christ-honoring home, and asking God's blessings on your ministry as Christian parents. So as I ask you these questions, in answering these questions, you are making a promise to God. You're not making it to me. You're not making it to your child. You're making it to God. If you are willing to commit your child today to God and to dedicate yourself to raising her in God's strength and for His honor and for His glory, then reply by saying, "I do," to the following promises. Nick and Chrissy, do you recognize your child as a gift from God and give God thanks and blessings for her life and for His gift? Do you then dedicate your child to the Lord who gave you this child? Do you pledge as Christian parents that you will bring up this child in the Christian home, looking to God for wisdom, strength, and guidance? Do you promise to give her every possible benefit of home, school, and church? Do you promise to pray for your child on a regular basis, realizing that it is only with God's hand upon your life that this can truly be blessed? Do you ask God's blessings upon the life of your child to guide, guard, and direct her through all of her years? If your heart was in these promises, then you have dedicated yourself to raising this child in a way that God can use mightily in His kingdom. And I have this letter I'm going to give you on behalf of Liliana. And someday you might wish to open it and share it with her and let her know that what you have done here today. Dear Liliana Felicity Roberts, on this date, 7/21/19, your parents came before me in the presence of your church family here at Church of Pentecost to dedicate themselves to you and to the Lord whom they worship and they serve. They recognize you as a gift from God and give thanks to Him for bringing you into their lives. They promise to train you in the things of God, looking to Him for divine guidance, wisdom, and strength. They ask God to someday fill you with the Holy Spirit and make you a blessing to others as you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with His power. As your church family, we have promised to encourage your parents as they grow in the Lord and to always be there for you when you need help in living the Christian life that God has planned for you. Although you will not remember this day, I pray that we will always remember the vows we have made to God on your behalf. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus and grow up to live a life pleasing to the Lord. Sincerely, Reverend William Roberts, Grandpa. All right. Bring her here. That's what you wanted. This is Grandpa's girl. All right, let's pray. If the family wants to gather around and pray, also the church family, you're going to gather up here. We want to pray and ask God to bless this family. Amen. Her feet. All right. Church of Pentecost family, if you want to gather around also, let's just pray right now. Let's just believe the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord God, for Liliana today. God, I ask you to just touch her. Help her, Lord God, I pray, as she grows in you, to serve you, to love you. God, that your will be done in her life. Bless Nick and Chrissy, I pray. God, touch them and help them right now. God, to serve you with all of their heart. God, to understand this responsibility. Lord God, to be raise up this child to serve you. And Lord, we know that your will be done in their life. We pray right now, God, in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Let's